Ducks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech, together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Apparently, Bick Nizar just can't get it right. You know, he's either 5 minutes late or he's making us come on early. I don't get it.
I mean, I don't get paid to get on air before four.
What kind of producers does Bick Nizar have that they're telling him to break too early or not getting him to break on time at the end of his show?
You know he's going to text us here in a moment.
And I don't mean intern Alessio. We're not putting this on the intern.
Well, you know. I mean, Bick might.
We know Bick is all about accountability.
Yeah. Well, you're sticking up for the Italian, too, you know.
Yes, of course. Me and Alessio, we go way back. We're paisans, basically, I think. I don't know.
That's how it works.
All right. I had to do something to avoid bringing up the elephant in the room, which we are about to take a big bite out of. But I am here today with our resident Australian, Satyar Shah.
Big bite. I liked it better when we were roasting Bick.
Hey, Elias, great stuff today, mate.
What happened?
Like right off the top.
I didn't even wait. I can't. It's been all I've been thinking about.
Yeah, it's, I mean...
It happened.
Yeah. I didn't mean to do it. Like, I wasn't trying to, like, drop, like, a Australian accent just for the hell of it.
I mean... Okay, Crocodile Hunter.
Hey, Elias, great stuff today, mate.
I meant to say great stuff tonight, man, and then
yes.
It ended up being mate. I did not mean to say mate.
You, like...
It came out...
Not only did you say mate, like... It would have been fine if you just said good stuff today to mate.
It feels like it's
like
weird,
why'd you have to have an Australian accent at the same time?
I really
good stuff today, mate.
I don't know. It's one of those, I really don't know what happened. I don't know how to explain it. I did not mean any offense. I wasn't trying to. Like, I wasn't like, you know what? I'm planning on dropping an Australian accent on the word mate. I don't even know if I can say it again.
I don't think you could ever do it so perfectly as you did last night. And also with Elias Pettersson, who's like, this is the Swedish guy? What just happened? Good stuff today, Mike.
Thank you so much.
This text says, sad it happened, but I feel like that was the most relatable thing to what happened last night. Was like when you go to give someone a handshake, but they hit you with the last second fist bump and things get really, really awkward. Keep it up. Keep your head up, mate. Mate.
Keep your head up, mate. Let's put another shrimp on the barbie. What was next? How did the entire postgame show even recover from this? I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess
how.
It didn't really.
No. Anybody who listened
today, mate.
It's so perfect. Yeah. All right.
So, Mike, the urologist, just happened on its own and wasn't egregious, just like a bit of an accent, which is what made it so weird. It was weird. It really was.
You know, I'm not here to judge. We've all made mistakes in this business while talking on air, live.
Rager, say quament in an Aussie accent.
I'm kind of wondering what accent's coming out next for Sat. That's really what I want to know.
It's going to break out the Italian. Step on your ground.
You know my Chelsea Blues. They transferred Cesare Casadei. Like what? What Sat? No, this is my thing. What are you doing?
I'm just stepping on everybody's territory.
That
was
right.
Pretty embarrassing.
You know what? It's turned out to be a very funny moment. I'm just glad I'm not the one that's the butt end of the joke this time.
No, this time I have to wear it.
Yeah.
Great stuff today, mate.
So good.
Paul in the Whack, the new 650 weed gummies.
All right. Let's talk Canucks. It's the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Yes, it's the open on Canuck Central, the latest on the Vancouver Canucks, and our take on it. And the Canucks coming off a 3-0 win over the Colorado Avalanche. They become the second team in the NHL this year to hold Nathan MacKinnon pointless in multiple games. Yeah. Only the Washington Capitals were able to perform such a feat so far this year. Everybody else, one game maybe, but otherwise, Mac has been destroying pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Except the Canucks and Capitals.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, and even though he didn't score last night,
yeah,
the man is an absolute terror. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was a opposition player and I'm going up against Nathan MacKinnon, I'm not sleeping the night prior.
Yeah, it's... you would immediately tense up the second he like touches the puck. And you're just like,
I mean,
this is bad. I don't know what's happened, but this is probably not good.
You know, I know there are some people that hate when we do soccer references, so I'll do a basketball reference, which is, I'm sure, going to go over much better.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like you don't want to get posterized.
Yes,
when you're out there, like when Jordan was in his prime or Vince Carter in his prime, like some guys were just terrified. Like, I don't want to end up in the highlight reel. That's what it is when you're playing against Nathan MacKinnon.
You know what? I'm just going to give you the lane. I don't want to be the guy in SportsCenter getting posterized like the Greek guy in the Olympics.
It's, it's making a business decision.
Yes,
is what it's called.
It was like poor Bess, right? He fumbles a pass by the goal line in the offensive zone. Then, like, a second later, MacKinnon's on a 2-on-1. It's, I'm like, how did that happen?
I don't even know. It just happened. But that's life against Nathan MacKinnon. But the Canucks, so far, have kept him pointless in two games this year. Two wins over the Colorado Avalanche. And you know, the last time it happened, it felt like, okay, is this team finding something? Demko also played well in that win over the Avs in Colorado. And you're wondering, okay, can they build on this? Two out of three games, they've beaten Florida 4-0, and they beat Colorado 3-1. Kiefer Sherwood just scored a hat trick, and you're thinking maybe things are looking up. And obviously, they were not.
No.
We know now, because history has happened, that things did not change for the Vancouver Canucks, and they remain very inconsistent and actually, you know, really went into the dumps as the month of December went on after that last win over the Colorado Avalanche. But this one feels different, and I am back again wanting to be positive about this team after some of the changes that they've made. And I know there was some luck involved last night. Guess what? There's always a little bit of luck involved when you are holding Nathan MacKinnon pointless and Cale Makar. But like, there's so much good happening right now. There is a different energy. There is a different vibe. They are playing well. Their process has improved over the last little while. They've now got a record of 4-1-1. And while I know since the trades were made and you got this injection of new talent, you are 1-0-1 with the overtime loss, and it's just two games, but it does feel like they're getting a bit of a new coach bump without having to change the coach right now.
I think that's a good way of describing it.
Yeah.
And this is an organization that was waiting for a move to happen, right? Like, the players talked about it openly at one stage, right? And even the coach really acknowledged that there was a lot of noise, man, and everyone's kind of waiting for something to happen. And until it happens, it's hard to move forward. Like, when the elephant is there, and it's kind of blocking the pathway. That's kind of what
was going
on.
We couldn't take any more bites out of the elephant. The elephant, we could not eat the elephant.
No, it couldn't be close.
To use Tockett's reference.
Yeah, it was like, we just don't have enough guys to eat this elephant. It's not going to happen. Half the guys are on food strike, hunger strike. Yeah, they're not eating.
We're tapping out, you know?
And you see the difference in effort, right? Like, they were stuck before, and it got so tiring watching them do the same thing repeatedly. And we just kind of came to the same conclusion that it's like, until they make a change, they're not getting out of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not happening. They're all waiting for something to drop. It's just a matter of when. And does a season go completely sideways if you don't make a move, right? Yeah. And did you make the deal at the last possible time before the turnaround could happen? Probably. Like, if you waited another week or two, you could have been so far out of it that it would have been like when they fired Travis to bring in Boudreaux. It was too late.
Yeah. It was like we played at a 106-point pace, and it was not good enough.
Yeah, like, you should have done that like 2-3 weeks earlier at the very least.
Even when they moved on from Boudreaux,
yeah,
you know, like, and they played pretty well with Tockett as soon as he came in. And it's like, well, you don't even have close to enough runway to get out of this hole. So, but similarly, there is that. And, you know, I'm not putting this all on JT Miller as the reason why the Canucks couldn't break out of their funk, but obviously there was some kind of mental block with all that was going on for the team that they could not bring it together and play well enough consistently. And to be fair, they haven't done it consistently yet either. It is just two games with this new look Canucks, but there is a lot to like. And I think chief among those things is the new guy, Cheats.
Yeah, Cheats.
Philip Hedl. I believe that's what they're calling
it. Is that what they're calling him, Cheats? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of like it.
It's not bad, Cheats.
Yeah.
You know,
does he cheetah all the time? This feels like a perfect. Is cheetah still a thing? I'm doing work for cheetah now. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is.
But the Ben Johnson angle was great.
Cheetah? There was a sports
drink. It's an energy drink.
Was.
I'm going to go was.
Yeah, it was. And Ben Johnson.
But it was one of the greatest ads of all time. Ben Johnson, famous Canadian, obviously lost his gold medal in 1988. And here he comes on the TV with this energy drink. I cheetah all the time.
It was a great ad.
It was so good. It was so perfect.
But you know what it was? It was like a viral moment.
Yes.
And drink was no more afterward.
The ad worked. So don't know if the drink did.
Well, you don't want this Canucks, these two games to be the Canucks viral moment. You want it to be something that sustains, right? And I think...
Can Hedl sustain?
Yeah.
Because I don't both. Like this player. I mean, I've seen it in flashes. He's had some good moments, but when you watch a lot of Rangers game, he didn't look this good.
No, and honestly, like I try to watch as many Rangers games as possible this year when we heard a lot about, you know, the trade rumors, and they were so bad. And it's just like, okay, well, what about Lafreniere? What about this guy? What about that guy? What about Braden Schneider? And he'd look good at times, but like nothing like this. He'd have moments, you're like, okay, this guy looks pretty interesting, he does good stuff, but then he kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing 20 minutes a game now. Both games, he's crested 20 minutes. And the level of pace he's playing with, power, assertiveness, confidence, and directness, like it's pretty astonishing. I don't know if it is sustainable because I just don't know enough about the player. If it is, like the Canucks may have found an absolute stud, right? But is it a flash or is this truly what this player is? And are the Canucks truly the team they're showing? They didn't even have Quinn Hughes last night.
Yeah.
And they outplayed the Colorado Avalanche for 40 minutes. The first period, you mentioned some luck. Demko did his thing. After that, they were the better team and had full value for the victory by any measure by the time the game was over.
He is a first-round draft choice, so now latter-end first-round draft choice. So there is a bit of a track record there going back for Philip Hedl. And he had the one breakout year, 45 points in 74 games. And we've talked about his scoring rates and how promising they are. If he can maintain those scoring rates with a uptick in usage, then you've got a 60, 70-point player-ish with Philip Hedl.
Well, if you get that, then you have a second-line center.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, is that what he's going to be doing, right? Is that what he can be? If he is, if not, then... Well, at the very least, is he a very intriguing player you can move up and down your lineup that can play wing too, potentially, because of how direct he is if you had to, if you bring another center in? And what if you really love what this guy does?
Yeah.
Does it change the type of center you go after?
Mm.
We've been talking about, and I'm not saying it will, it's only two games, again, right? But the longer he plays at this level, the more questions it creates in a good way, right? Not in a bad way, not about like... You know,
you can just look for an impact forward rather than having it specifically be a center.
And that's kind of why I worded it as impact forward when I mentioned what the Canucks are looking for. Yes, they're looking for a center. And I think even based on this game, we'll get to this. You look at what happened last night. Like they need somebody who's a bit of a defensive stopper too, guy that wins faceoffs and plays in critical spots. And that doesn't have to be a top two center.
Yeah.
But what they need is an impact forward. Even if Hedl's a star, you still need somebody else. You need to add more guys, right? So if he can be that and you don't find a center by the deadline and he continues this through the regular season and the Canucks make the playoffs and looks good in the postseason, then does it change your posture in the offseason potentially about what you go after?
It all depends on how Philip Hedl keeps playing. But right now, Rick Tocchet's liking what he sees. Had him over 20 minutes again last night. Led all forwards in ice time with 20 minutes 45 seconds for Philip Hedl. Now, you mentioned Quinn Hughes, and it's remarkable how well the defense has looked in the captain's absence. Marcus Pettersson and Tyler Myers have been great. Their expected goals through a couple of games together, I think around 55%. So that's looking really good. Philip Hronek has played. I know I heard you guys a little bit talking last night, but for me, it was one of the best games he's played as a Vancouver Canuck.
Terrific.
Philip Hronek last night, and obviously DPD Jr., mate.
Well, okay, so somebody...
Sats, mate.
So the hockey sport podcast on X says, how are the Canucks going to tell the two Elias Petterssons apart? Easy. We talk about one exclusively in an Australian accent.
Well, that would be challenging. But now I know I'm talking about DPD. I should not do that. What have you done to me, Sat?
What do you do to yourself? Don't put that on me.
This is contagious.
You're really enjoying this. It's like, this is an excuse for me to do my accents. Sat, open the door.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Great stuff today, mate.
Yeah, it has been. So Quinn Hughes, he's been out of the lineup. Defense has played unbelievable.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's like you got Marcus Pettersson. He's been great through a couple of games. Really looks the part of a top four defenseman. Was great in that shutdown role with Myers last night against, you know, they obviously had their chances, but still, for the most part, after that shift in the second period, you know, they kept that line pretty quiet for the rest of the game.
If Marcus Pettersson can completely keep Nathan MacKinnon from creating any scoring chances, you should get paid $12 million a year. Like, no one can do that,
yeah.
Right? Like, you know, I think, I don't care who
that
goes up
impossible.
Against it. It is. Like, it's an impossible ask. He's going to make you look silly at times. That's just what Nathan MacKinnon's going to do. But out of the 18 minutes Marcus Pettersson played, over 13 and a half was up against Nathan MacKinnon last night.
Yeah.
And what did MacKinnon not do was score. Yes, you had a little bit of luck. He still had some chances, but that was massive.
So I was kind of thinking today and watching back a little bit of the game, hearing what's being said about Quinn Hughes, which we'll get to in a second, about his status moving forward. Won't travel to San Jose. May not go to the Four Nations. We'll see how that plays out. I think this short-term absence has been actually good for the Vancouver Canucks. Like, Hughes's short-term absence has been a positive for the Canucks, especially since they've played really well in his absence, and they've been able to generate a lot of offense without Quinn Hughes on the ice for the first time this season.
Are you trying to galaxy brain this?
I am not galaxy braining this. This has been a good thing for the Vancouver Canucks.
It's good that Quinn Hughes is hurt.
No, it's not good that Quinn Hughes is hurt. You're twisting my words. I'm saying his short-term absence has been good for the Canucks in that they've played well. They're generating offense.
Okay.
They are showing that they don't need him to be the sole driver of offense on this team. Other defensemen are like, oh my God, I have to break the puck out now. I don't have Quinn here to help me. And it's, I know I'm really exaggerating this tenfold, but the point is, like, they haven't been able to play this well without Quinn Hughes on the ice at any point this year. We've all looked at the numbers. We've all seen the numbers. With Quinn Hughes on the ice, they're great. Without Quinn Hughes on the ice, they're bad.
Yeah.
And so far, through two games, they've been pretty good without Quinn Hughes. Now you drop him back into the lineup, and all of a sudden, you've got a team playing a little bit more confident. Now we got our captain and our best player back. Who knows what that could do? Obviously, you don't want Quinn Hughes, but we know he could use the rest. That's a positive for him. And you're building confidence throughout your group without Quinn Hughes there that they can do a lot of the things Rick Tocchet has been talking about and wanting them to do, even if Quinn Hughes isn't here.
Okay. I mean, your point, you make a decent argument.
Okay.
You make a decent argument. Obviously, it's not good not to have Quinn Hughes, but I get what you're saying. And if you look at, like, the way Elias Pettersson was deployed last night, if you don't have Quinn Hughes, if you have Quinn Hughes playing, can you give him all the offensive zone starts?
Has he started any shift in the defensive zone yet?
Not yet.
Not
he had one neutral zone start, and then he had all offensive zone starts. And the rest, his majority of shifts began on the fly.
Amazing. He hasn't been on the ice for an icing either, that means.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah,
you would have had to start in the defensive zone.
100%. I mean, yeah, I never got hurt to leave anyways, right? So, like, he hasn't been on the ice for any of those, and he hasn't been put in any really tough situations, but he's been allowed to go into his NHL career in a really soft spot.
Yeah.
And he's been able to really grow and gain confidence because the level of physicality he played with last night, his ability to just separate the man from the puck and squash guys along the wall. And yeah, and it was great to see him try to defend his teammates too and play with an edge and all that. But there's a real art to being a defender that can just stop guys in their tracks the way he does. And yeah, he's big, but Vinny Deharnay was big. He could not stop them in their tracks like that.
No.
Like, even as good as Carson...
Elias Pettersson, mate, has thrown our mate, has thrown more hits in these like two games. Or four games, five games, whatever. Certainly these last two games than Vinny Desharnais did at any point.
And I'm not
this
trying
season.
And not even trying to criticize Desharnais. It's just to say like it's not an easy thing to do. And to have the technique, the timing, and just be able to stop guys the way he does. Like he hits like a cinder block. Guys just stop, right? Yeah. Like there's so many times he did that to guys. And these are like big forwards, like guys like Ross Colton, guys like Miles Wood. Like he's just completely stopping guys. And that's a real strong trait to have. And it's really encouraging. I want to see how he fares in some tougher moments. But to your point, he's been allowed to have a real soft landing, right? And the other guys have really had to push forward. I'm excited to see what it's going to look like mm-hmm. when Quinn returns. And do you see the team now embracing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see, as much as they have the opportunity now to put Hughes and Hronek together, mm-hmm. I'm almost like, put Hughes and Myers together. They were doing great.
Yeah.
Get Hronek and Pettersson together, and the way Hronek was playing last night, let him just like be like, I'm going to dominate right now. If you have that, and then your third pair all of a sudden is guys like DPD and Carson Soucy and Derek Forbort, like the defense looks just miles better than it was.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's just like two tweaks.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now you've got Carson Soucy in a spot where he has to play better if he wants to keep his spot on the Vancouver Canucks. So things have changed quite a bit. And, we'll see if Marcus Pettersson can keep up this level of play. Clearly, it's been a good start for him. And I like a lot of what I see. Lady C, my thoughts to Dan. Team needs to be confident without Quinn up until now. They've fallen apart without him. And another one saying that Hughes tries to do too much on his own. Hopefully, he can breathe a little bit now, knowing that his teammates can pick up some of the slack without him in the lineup too.
Yeah, I mean, and this was not a criticism of Quinn. It's actually a positive because of how much he cares and how he was trying to drag a team that was playing nowhere near its level to result every single night. But he was doing some hero puck stuff a lot.
Yes.
But that was out of necessity. Mm-hmm. They needed a hero, right? Because nobody would do anything. They needed somebody to step up, and the only guy that would consistently was Quinn Hughes, of the guys capable of driving the bus, right? Like the other bus drivers were on strike.
Yeah, literally. They were absent, invisible, on the milk carton, the other bus drivers for the Vancouver Canucks. We're going to get into Thatcher Demko with Kevin Woodley, who's going to join us here in a couple of moments. In the Canucks Central Roundup, a change to the roster. Linus Karlsson is headed to Abbotsford. Nils Åman has been called up. Yes, still a part of the organization for those that may have forgotten, and has been playing well in Abbotsford, 38 points in 42 games, 7 goals, has been a good facilitator down in the AHL, and will line up on the fourth line with Bluger and Höglander. At least that's the way it looked at practice today.
Yeah, and it was telling that talk didn't use Pettersson at all against MacKinnon, really, outside of a few shifts here and there. It was mostly against Mittelstadt, and Suter got the matchup role. So if you're not going to have Hedl or Pettersson go head-to-head against the other team's top lines, you're relying on your bottom two lines to do so. Nils Åman has speed, is a good checker, good defensively. Mm-hmm. Does this kind of tell us about, at least in the short term, how they want to utilize those two lines?
Suter was the main matchup center last night against Nathan MacKinnon, even against Dylan Larkin and company on Sunday against Detroit. And Elias Pettersson ended up being 10 minutes, 10 seconds at 5-on-5 last night, which was fourth lowest amongst Canucks forwards. All right, continuing with the Canucks Central Roundup, Carson Soucy had this to say about trade speculation around him and getting the healthy scratch. In this league, there are always going to be guys pushing to play. It's the best league in the world. You got to be ready to fight for your spot in the lineup. You've got to elevate your play, and that's something I've got to do. So the Carson Soucy story, which popped up yesterday, not going away, but he played well enough last night on the right side of Elias Pettersson, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, and like we mentioned yesterday, and we kind of just heard about that stuff yesterday, me looking into it a little bit, like he's a player that has value, right? And we mentioned this yesterday, like he's a guy, if the Canucks are here with him and he has a no-trade clause, it's probably because they have reason to believe they can do something with it.
Yeah.
And that is true. What they do with it ultimately remains to be seen. And does he ultimately waive?
Yeah.
That's going to be, you know, the big question. And how valuable is the cap space for the Canucks? Because like we mentioned, if you really want to, you can also always put the player on waivers. That always forces a guy to waive. So I think the deadline is going to be very, very interesting here with Carson Soucy.
Kevin Weeks had this to say about Dylan Cousins, who's obviously been a big topic on the rumor mill connected with the Canucks in the past as well. And speaking to sources, I'm told there's plenty of expressions of interest from clubs in Cousins, including Montreal Canadiens, Calgary Flames, Toronto Maple Leafs, Detroit Red Wings.
What does about the not, Canucks?
Does not mention the Canucks. So that's what his picture from Chippewa Street was all about last night.
Well, I mean, I figured it was something to do with the Sabres trade and Cousins most likely, but that this wasn't
guy,
fun.
This guy in his pictures, hey? I know. So cryptic.
I know.
I don't know. When he stopped on the side of the highway last week, I was like, I don't know, Kevin. This is maybe not a good idea.
Maybe not. It doesn't look very safe.
This is more dangerous than anything.
This is very dangerous. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend.
I mean, he was a goaltender in the NHL, yes. And goalies are not afraid of some thrills, right?
You know.
If you can stop a puck, you can stop a car.
Well, might want to rethink that.
Takes quite a bit to be like, you know what I want to do for a living? Just, you know, stand in front of a flying disc at 100 miles an hour.
Nathan McKinnon trying to coming at you like a freight train. Yeah. This looks like it's fun.
Yeah, I could do this. Totally. All right, Kevin Woodley, our goalie guru, is going to join us. His take on Thatcher Demko's incredible performance from last night, the shift, Demko edition. Woodley's take is next on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.